Okay. First, just give me a little bit of basic information, like the name of the commune, the location, and the date that you lived there.
Okay. The name of the commune is Koinonia, and it is located in the basement of the ECM, the Ecumenical Christian Ministries.
Yeah.
There are six different apartments down there, and so there are six people living there. And I've been living there since August of 2003, and I'm going to move out at the end of May 2004. So it's been almost a year now.
Is there a particular purpose or ideology of the group?
Yeah, it's hard to sum it up. I probably should have brought my little packet of information that nobody ever reads. But basically, our purpose is, well, one thing we're required to do is like 45 hours of community service each semester. That basically boils down to like 3 hours a week. And so there's a huge emphasis on helping out in the community where we can, and hopefully I think they want us to continue doing that even after we move out of the commune. But basically, we at our orientation, one of the biggest questions that our kind of like our sponsor had was, what does community mean to us, and how do you make a genuine community? So those are things, that's a topic that's been coming up ever since I've moved in there. Just seeing what our definitions of a real community are, if they mesh well together, and if we're actually living them out. So,
do you know who the founders of the group are?
The history is kind of sketchy in my head, but they have, it is pretty well documented. It's actually originally a commune of women, and they didn't live at the basement of the ECM. They lived in another building before it got moved into the ECM, and it's been around for 60 some odd years. So in the beginning it was just a commune for women, but eventually it evolved to include men, and they also moved into the ECM basement. And it was also the group of women who were living there had a base, their basis in Christianity, so it was kind of a religious group, but they weren't like cloistered or anything like that.
Why was it named what it was?
Actually, I have no idea why it was named that. All I know is that everybody I know has difficulty saying it. It's like Koinonia, but it's K-O-I-N-I-N-I-A, and it's just really difficult to pronounce.
Why do you think people flock to communal living?
I don't know, I think part of it has to do with the fact that the current mode of life, like American living, you're not so connected to your environment as you are to just like your family that you live with. So you're kind of restricted in the sense that you know your family and you live with them, but you aren't really connected to your neighbors. Like, you might say hi or share your property line, but you don't have the same kind of connection. And I think it's really kind of isolating for some people.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think a lot of other people wouldn't flock to communal living because they don't want to have a connection like that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as why I went, they did an interview. They interviewed all of us before we were allowed to live there and see if we would live up to the ideals of the community. And I wanted to move in because I liked the ideals, and I also thought that maybe living with other people would help me to work on some of my own issues, like confrontation. Like, if somebody wasn't doing the dishes, would I just do the dishes myself, or would I actually tell them, you need to do your dishes because that's your specific chore?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been working on a lot of that. And also, it's a community, but it was also a place for me to kind of have some personal development going on, and it just seems like a really good environment for that, because I think the people who do end up flocking to communal living are really a unique group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they respect the boundaries of personal autonomy and personal growth in the context of a wider community. So I've grown a lot since I've lived there.
How did you come to get involved in communal living?
I went on a spring break trip sponsored by the ECM. It was last spring to Ghost Ranch in New Mexico. And I just heard about the community, and I also heard that some people were moving out and that I could fill out an application if I wanted to. And I had never lived by myself before. Like, I'd never paid my own rent. I'd always lived with a boyfriend. and I was going to be a senior, and so I was thinking, you know, I really don't want to have graduated from college and not at least had a room of my own. And so I filled out the application, read through all of the materials they give me on in terms of the community service requirement and like dividing up the chores, and it sounded like something I could deal with. But honestly, I had no idea what exactly it would entail until I was actually living there.
Did you have any predisposition to communities, like from your family?
I would probably say no, because my family is very much, it's kind of like my family and then the rest of the world. Like they're pretty separate from any kind of community. Like my parents don't have a lot of friends. It's almost like they wanted everybody to be home all the time. Like they didn't let us go out and hang around with friends very often. I didn't spend the night at home. Everybody was just happy as long as we were all together. Actually, we weren't happy. I'd say, you know, my parents might have been happy that we were all there, but it just seemed like it was comforting for all of the kids to be home. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I don't think I had any predisposition for it, which is why it might have been seeming like such a good idea to me, like a new experience to actually do it.
What kind of books or other literature did you read that has influenced you as you began or as you've continued to live in community?
I guess, do you mean like have I read literature about other communities? Like,
I guess it doesn't have to do with community, just like I guess just anything that influenced you, that maybe, I guess it could have been about community or could have not been about community.
Okay, well, I'm a women's studies major, and so I've done a lot of reading about different ways of living, like in terms of extended families, like having your grandparents be around and your aunts and uncles be around and cousins all living in the same place. And that seems very different from the kind of the family structure that I was raised with. And so it got me to thinking that there might be other ways of doing things. So a lot of the feminist stuff that I've been reading through my women's studies degree has influenced me just to thinking that there are alternative ways of living besides I'm living with my mom and dad, or I'm going to live with my husband when I grow up. Like, there are all kinds of different family structures or just community structures. And there was one thing, I can't remember the author, but it was kind of one of those futuristic tales of like just women living together. There weren't any men around, or perhaps there was one man and they would just use him for reproduction. But it was like a community of women, and I've always been really fascinated by that idea. I've also started volunteering at the local women's shelter, and it's totally run by women. And so it seemed to me like even though the advocates and staff didn't live there, like the women did, like the women who were seeking shelter did, and they formed a kind of community. And so it was just really neat to see them doing everything on their own, and then the staff running the shelter on their own without the aid of some like managerial male or something like that. So those kinds of ideas have probably influenced me a lot in terms of thinking that there are different ways of living than just with your immediate family.
Does the political climate have anything to do with the fact that you wanted to live in community?
I guess yes and no. Like, when I was at Ghost Ranch was when we went to war with Iraq, and it wasn't so much that I felt like I needed to go hide in my community, because most of the people around here and people that I interact with weren't for the war. So, but the interesting thing is that the people that I live with, like we can have a discussion about the war in Iraq and we completely agree about everything. And so I think that might have something to do with it. Like, there's some kind of sense of validation to be living with people who hold the same viewpoints as you do. But in the sense that I was trying to hide from the politics of America, like, no, I don't think so. It's just nice to be living with people who hold the same kinds of values and beliefs that I do about the war. That's just one example, though. And we are, at our community, we are required to have dinner once a week together. It's like, we just pick a night and we rotate who cooks, and then someone picks a topic. And so a lot of our topics have tended to be about politics or whatever's been in the paper lately, and so it's just really nice to talk to educated people who agree with me. So,
what is daily life like?
Well, typically, all the people that I live with are really incredible people. Like, we all have so many different things going on that there's a pretty good chance that you really won't run into anybody for longer than, like, 20 minutes during a day, or you might not see anybody. So we're all really busy, which is why I think our dinner is so important, because if we didn't have those 2 hours, we'd probably, you know, you could go a couple weeks without seeing somebody and having a really good connection with them. So typically, I don't really see all of my roommates, but I kind of make a point to see a couple of them because we're closer than I am with the others. And so I spend a lot of time with my roommate Nadine purposely. Like, if I know she's going to be around Tuesday, we might have dinner together, and we'll study together a lot. But the weekends are a little bit different because nobody has to be in class all day, and so we could go out and have a drink or go to a party or something. Or a lot of times, if you do run into somebody during the weekdays, you could just, you'll probably just be sitting at the table studying with them. And so, but usually, I just get up, I go to my classes. It's nice to be so close to campus, I have to say. So I'll come home in between classes and maybe bump into somebody, maybe not. But once a week, well, not once a week, but every week is a different chore for people. So, you know, you'll be doing your chore. You'll have to get it done by the end of the week, and if somebody isn't doing their chore, then you're definitely going to notice, and sometimes tensions will rise because the kitchen's a freaking mess and it smells in there, or somebody hasn't taken the trash out, and those kinds of things are really divisive. And so you go, you don't see anybody all week, but you have this thing going on, it really upsets you, and then at dinner, tensions can be high sometimes.
How would you say the people relate to each other?
Well,
yeah, and yes, and I have been.
That's kind of difficult to say because from my personal experience, I relate well to, like, there are six of us, so I relate well to three of my other roommates. And it means that I enjoy talking to them. I feel like I can go to them if I'm having a bad day, and I would expect them to feel like they could come to me. Or if I just want to fuck around and joke with somebody, then it's nice. Those three people are nice to joke around with. But as far as the other two roommates go, I can't really say I've made any kind of deep connection with them at all. Like, I barely know who they are. And I'm not quite sure if it's because I haven't been asking enough, or if it's because they feel the same way about me. And so we just don't even try to have a connection. But as far as other people's experiences go, I can't, like, say for sure, but it seems like the same way. Like, the four of us just kind of seem to cling together, and the other two just doesn't seem like it seems like they have a superficial connection with everybody. And I'm not sure if that's because, if that's just my perception, or if it's because they really can't genuinely share themselves with people. I would suspect it's the latter, but it's kind of a mean thing to say. But and another thing is that those two particular people don't seem to be as interested in the community ideals as the rest of us do. So in terms of chores, like, first off, they won't do their chores, and then second off, they're incredibly messy people. Incredibly messy. And I mean, I'm not talking about, like, leaving, you know, a plate or two around. I mean, I did the dishes just this past Friday. When I got home on Sunday, the kitchen was an absolute disaster zone. And the laundry room, like, one of them doesn't even do laundry. The other one just leaves their laundry in there, like, forever. It's like where she keeps her laundry. And so I think those kinds of things probably contribute to why people are always irritated at them, and it's hard to, you know, feel a connection with someone that you're always irritated with.
What's the food?
The food, basically all of us have our own cabinet, and we keep all of our own food there, and then there's one cabinet of community food, which is basically stuff that's been there from people who've moved out, like, 5 years ago, and They just left it there. So, but if you wanted salt, there might be some salt in the community food. But everyone's supposed to stay out of everyone else's cabinets, and I can't really say that that always happens. Like, I know that somebody ate all my eggs and wrote on the top of the container, "I owe you eggs." I don't know who it was. So people sometimes break that rule. A lot of the times, though, I won't go into my kitchen because it's so dirty, and one particular roommate is on the Atkins diet, and so all she cooks is meat, but she's a messy person, and, like, she leaves raw meat all over the counter, and so it's like I'm afraid I'm going to get sick from eating in my kitchen, and a lot of times there aren't any clean dishes to eat in there. But we have that weekly dinner, and so one person will cook each week, and that's kind of nice because it's nice to have someone else cook for you, and most of the time the food's been good. There's only been one instance where someone forgot that they had dinner, and in that case, we just walked down to Rudy's and had pizza instead, which is actually fun to get out.
So how are chores and housework handled?
Well, there's six different sets of chores, and they basically are divided into somebody is supposed to clean the living room, and that means, like, sweeping it and making a pile of other people's crap for them to pick up, and then there's sweeping the kitchen floor, sweeping and mopping it, which is a really nasty chore. And then there's the laundry room. Someone is supposed to kind of clean that and make sure the floor is picked up. And then there's recycling, because we do try to recycle, and someone's supposed to take that once a week. Then there's trash, and then there's the dishes. So every week, one of us gets a job. And then I think the person who... Our recycling job really... Only one person ever does that because he's the janitor of the ECM also. So typically the person who's cooking dinner won't have a chore that week, so all they have to do is concentrate on getting dinner done. But we just switch every Sunday night, and then if someone didn't do their chore, you're supposed to tell them, you know, "I'm not doing your chore, you need to do it," and then I'll pick it up. And so we basically just switch. We have a chore wheel, we'll just rotate it once a week.
What are the economic arrangements?
Economic arrangements are basically how much you pay for the room depends on what size room you have, and so, or whether you have a bathroom. And so there's one person who has a bathroom but not a shower, and also he's the janitor, and so he pays like $20 in rent because he makes up for it by cleaning the rest of the ECM. And then there's another person who has his own room and a bathroom and shower, so his rent's a little more expensive. My room is actually the cheapest rent there. I just have a room. I don't have a bathroom in there, so I have to go across the hall to use the bathroom, and I share that bathroom with another male roommate who just has a room and no bathroom. And there's the biggest room there, which is the most expensive one, is just huge, and it has its own bathroom and shower. And then another girl has a room, and she has her own bathroom, but she shares a shower with me. So there are four of us sharing a shower. And everybody's expected to pay rent on time. If you don't pay it that day and turn in your community service hours, then you get charged $5 per day until you do turn it in. But it's actually really inexpensive to live there. Which I think is good because that's what I can afford, but also I think we draw a lot of people who aren't interested in community ideals. Mm-hmm. They're interested in cheap rent, and so
right. That's
where you get the people who don't get their community service hours done or don't give a shit about cleaning things or making connections. They're just there because the rent's really cheap.
Right. Yeah. So what's the range of rent?
My rent is $251 per month, and then I think the most expensive rent goes up to like $330.
Okay. Is there any sort of, like, governing structure? Is there any leader or anything?
Generally, amongst the six of us who live down there, none of us is supposed to be leaders, because one of the things we don't really like is hierarchy. Like, we just don't... It'd be weird to live in a community where one person was in charge of everybody else. So we try to maintain a sense of equality. I do have to say, though, that in terms of maintaining the community ideals and doing chores, there's typically like one or two people who actually bring it to people's attention, like, "Hey, you're not doing this, you need to be doing it," or, "Hey, I don't feel like we're all connecting at all, and I'd like us to start living up to the ideals more." And that's usually fallen to me, or then there's another team living. So there's not supposed to be any formal hierarchy, but it ends up turning out that way because some of them don't care. Others of us do, and so we're the ones who are constantly bringing concerns to the table, and it might seem like we're leaders, but we're not really supposed to be. But we are, we do have like a sponsor. His name's Thad Holcomb. He is the pastor at the ECM and pretty much in charge of all the activities there.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the one who, if we have a serious conflict, we'll call him down for a dinner and he'll come down and mediate. Or if we're not getting our service hours done, he'll be the one to kind of ride our ass about that. And then when we have an orientation every semester. Like, we had one when I moved in, and we had one at the beginning of second semester. And he was the one who facilitated that and tries to guide us in maintaining a community structure. So he doesn't live down there, and he really doesn't come down that often. But,
does the group garden at all? Does the group garden?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny because I really got into gardening this semester. I bought myself a biodome off the internet, which had like 60 slots for you to plant different seeds. And so it was funny because I did that, and then I noticed that everybody would be checking out the biodome every day to see what had been growing, and if something really took off, everyone was all excited about it. And it was really kind of cute. It was totally unintentional, but it really drew some of us together. Because the corner where the plants were, one of the jobs was watering the plants, but nobody ever did it until I moved in, and then I just kind of took it over.
Mm-hmm.
So things have really started to bloom over there, and it looks really beautiful. And then one of my other roommates got the idea that it would be nice to start an herb garden outside in the spring. And so he and I, and then a member, a person who wasn't a member of the community, got together, and we planted a whole lot of herbs and vegetables and flowers, and so that went really well for a while, but Drew is really busy, and so we ended up not watering a lot of it. And I didn't want to, like, I would hate someone to water my plants, and so I didn't want to, like, step on his toes and, like, imply that he wasn't being a good gardener. So a lot of it actually died. And it's only been the two of us. Like, we can't get anyone else in the community to, like, be excited about gardening. So I'm not sure how well it's going to turn out. We might plant some stuff in the back. In the next few weeks, I guess. We were going to have a lot of tomatoes and cucumbers, and so we'll probably do that. And it's kind of debatable whether or not it will work, because the soil outside of the ECM is crap. Like, I mean, it is really disgusting. So we'd have to, like, plant elevated beds or else till the soil. And also, Drew and I are both leaving in May, so I have no idea if anyone's going to keep it up. But it would be neat, because then they could, you know, get vegetables and herbs for veggie lunch that the ECM has every Thursday. But I'm not really sure how well it will turn out once the two of us leave.
Yeah. Tell me more about, like, the interviews for membership.
Okay. Basically, the process is that you fill out an application with your name, and then there are several questions like, have you ever lived in a community structure before? Do you agree with the Koinonia Covenant, which is, I'll do my ministry hours and eat dinner with everyone once a week?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe telling a little bit about yourself, like your strengths and weaknesses, and then where you are in terms of Christianity, or your beliefs and whatever. And so people will fill those applications out, and the six of us will read it, and then we'll do an interview. I don't think we've ever turned anybody down for an interview who's applied to live there. Like, we interview everybody, and all six of us make the decision on who lives, regardless of whether four of us are moving out or not, because that's actually the case this semester. Four of us will be leaving, but all of us were required to participate in the decision-making process. So we picked interviews. We did interviews one night, started at 6, and we interviewed about 5 people. Some of them just wanted to live there for the summer, and some of them wanted to continue on in the fall. And basically, we have a list of questions, like, who's one of your role models, and how do you think you would do on, where would you like to do your service hours, and then how do you deal with confrontation, what if things don't turn out the way you want them to, and have you seen a book or movie lately that's influenced you a lot? So different questions like that. And All six of us plus Thad are down there for the interview process. And they generally take about half an hour each. And then once we're done with that, we make the decision on who's going to live there that night. And so we were up until like 1:30 deciding who we wanted to live there. And it has to be consensus. So if one of us doesn't want someone to live there, we'll talk and talk and talk until finally someone, we make some kind of agreement. So we did, you know, we got done with interviews like at 11, and we ended up talking for another 2.5 hours about who we wanted down there. And then we called them that night and let them know that they got into the community, and if they didn't, then someone had to call them and tell them that too, so.
What, are there any sort of rules or agreements about dress or any or other matters of style?
We did talk about that at orientation. Mostly it was like, can people run around in a towel? Like if they left something in the laundry room and they just got out of the shower, can they run out in a towel? And it seems like most everybody is comfortable with people running around with a towel on or like a sports bra and shorts in the summer. Mostly any discussions about dress have had to do with the females living in there and how the males would feel about them running around naked. We didn't really talk about how the females would feel if the males ran around naked, but I think everybody pretty much decided that those kinds of things, like a towel or something skimpy, is fine. They just don't want to see any nudity in the traditional sense of like breasts or buttocks. And, but there was some discussion, because I guess a few years ago they had a nude day or something, which I thought sounded really fun, and everybody just kind of hung out naked that day. But the people I'm living with this year are far too conservative for that. Like they're a couple. There are probably three of us who might do it, and then the other three would just probably die. So we are not going to have a new day this year.
What are relations with the surrounding culture like?
What do you mean by surrounding culture?
I'm not really sure. Like, I don't know, I guess it might not be really applicable in this case, but like, have you ever had any problem with like, any structures at KU or in the community? Has anybody ever like not liked your existence, I guess? Or?
I can't really say that I know of anybody who's had some kind of problem with Koinonia. I do know that we are really affiliated with the ECM. Like, when I got into the community, I was under the impression that we were an autonomous group of people, so that whatever we decided we wanted to do was fine. But I found out just like a month ago or so that we aren't, like that our sponsor doesn't consider us to be an autonomous group of people. And part of it is because it's a liability issue. Like we're in the basement of ECM and they're like a, you know, bureaucratic establishment basically. And so they have, there are legal repercussions for things. For instance, initially when I moved in, we had sliding glass doors, and we still have them, but they didn't lock, like the Charlie bar was broken, and they didn't lock for the entire first semester and probably a couple months into the second semester. And all of us were fine with that because it's kind of a hassle to have someone lock the Charlie bar and then you not be able to get in. But unfortunately, in the beginning, the first semester, the ECM was broken into and somebody stole quite a bit of money out of their safe. And that was in the upstairs part of the ECM. And we think it was someone who was probably affiliated somehow or knew where the money was going to be. But after that happened, they started being a little more strict in terms of locking their office doors and trying to lock the building doors. The problem is that so many different activities go on every night that it's hard to say you're the last person out of the building or think, you know, who's going to break into the ECM. But probably like a couple months ago in the second semester, somebody broke in again. Mm-hmm. And this time they either came through our sliding doors, because there's a door that leads you to the upstairs that's never locked, and they probably got in that way. Or there's another door to the theater, which is kind of in the basement with us also. So what ended up happening was that the ECM board decided that they were going to pretty much screw our door, our sliding doors shut, and we were going to be given keys to a door in the back to go into. And so that happened, and that's when I realized we weren't really autonomous, because we could have taken care of that ourselves. Like, we could have gotten the Charlie bar and made other arrangements. Mm-hmm. They just kind of screwed the door shut without telling us. So, So we are affected by like the community, like the culture surrounding us, the culture of ECM. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think that a lot of the times people affiliate with ECM, like, I'm going to use the term liberal wacko, which isn't really applicable, but like, I think they're really trusting sometimes, and I don't think they took security concerns. Mm-hmm. But I think when they got broken into the second time, also somebody broke in. They didn't break in because none of us would lock our doors. Like, I didn't even have a lock on my door, and I kept asking Thad about it, and I ended up having to buy my own. But my roommate Drew, somebody walked into his room and stole his like iPod and stole his video camera and a lot of things. So when that happened, all of us were kind of like, yeah, we need to lock the doors. So we are affected by the outside culture, which is the fact that the ECM is really trusting, and there are a lot of people who know that, and so they took advantage of it.
Do you have any relationship with any other communes?
Fine arts? Actually, not really. I mean, I do know that there's, like, Sunfire House is just down the street from us, basically, but we don't have, like, I don't even think I know. I've been in there once, and I only knew one person who lived there, and she's moved out now. So I'd have to say no. I don't have relations.
What are the people, like, who you live with? I guess if there's anything that you haven't already
mentioned. Well, I get along really well with Nadine. She's really conservative, but she's really a neat person. She does a lot of interesting things, and we're just pretty good friends. But she's probably a lot more reserved than I am, and so there is a difference between us. I don't particularly have a connection with my roommate, Lynn. She is just really kind of offstandish, I guess, or standoffish, however you say that. And she's also very dirty, so I'm mostly irritated with her. And a lot of the times, like, she breaks down community ideals that just drive me nuts. Like, our dinner is supposed to be for just community members, and she invited a friend one time, which really pissed me off. My roommate Lexan is from South Africa, which is neat because I've never encountered anybody from Africa at all. So it's been interesting to talk to him about things, but I can't say that we really talk very much because we don't have that much of a connection. So I haven't found out as much as I wanted to know. And then my other roommate Drew, he's fine. He's gay. He's really ambitious too. And so he starts like 10 different projects, but he's so busy he never gets to finish any of them. But I really like him. He's like my little Muppet. He's just so cute. And then my other roommate, Michael, he's a really good guy too. I feel completely safe living with all three of the guys, because that was something I was concerned about, just my past history with males. And I felt totally safe the whole time.
What kind of artistic expression is present?
Well, most of the time we have a billion different signs up bitching people out. Like, there's one sign that says, it has a picture of an airplane, it says, "This isn't rocket science, rinse your fucking dishes." And so I hung that over the sink, and it's totally been disregarded. Like, and then there's another sign up that says, "The laundry room is not a depository for clothes, it's for laundry only." But we do have other artistic expressions, just mostly things making fun of President Bush. Like, we have one picture of him in three different stances, and we have a picture of a monkey on the other side, and he looks exactly like all three different monkeys. And so we have a lot of like funny political things up, but other than that, like, nobody really paints or does anything else for artistic. I guess you could consider the gardening artistic in the sense that how you arrange the plants and stuff like that.
Is there any, or what's the relationship between drugs and the community?
No, okay.
Well, there are three smokers, me, Michael, and Drew. Drew's since tried to quit. So we're always, like, going outside to smoke. Like, we're not allowed to smoke inside. Me, Michael, and Drew also drink a lot, although I haven't been drinking as much lately just because I've been too busy. Nadine doesn't drink at all. Like, she'll have one at the most. I've never seen her drunk. She won't go out and party with us. Usually it was me, Mike, and Drew going out and partying. Luxon also has only gone out a few times, and he doesn't tend to drink. And Lynn goes out and drinks, but mostly it's with a different crowd of friends. So, you know, people will have, like, a six-pack of beer around or have a drink every now and then. I can't say that anybody, that I know of anybody who does any hard drugs, but I know some of us smoke marijuana from time to time. Not inside the community, certainly not as a community event.
What's the relationship between sexual expression and community?
Well, all I can say is that the walls are really thin. So, if anybody's going to have sex in the ECM, they're going to have to be quiet. Like, I mean, my partner and I typically don't have sex there just because my room is so small and he's really anal about, like, having his own space. So he doesn't really like to do it there. And we've probably done it there twice or three times. And each time it's been nerve-wracking because you don't want to be loud and you don't want people to knock on your door while you're doing it and have to be like, oh, just a minute, or something like that. And then I don't know so much about Lynn. I know Nadine probably hasn't made out with anybody there. She's really reserved. Lexan is always complaining about not getting laid. Like, he's never had sex. And he's a little younger than the rest of us. He's 19. So he's kind of in that phase where it's like, if I don't have sex, I'm going to die. And I always tell him he just needs to go find some person at a party and do it so he can shut up about it. But we have talked about it. Like, he had a lot of questions about condoms. And I was on the sexual education committee. And I'm also a TA for a sex class, and so he was really curious about what knowledge I could give him. Mm-hmm. So I talked to him about it, and I gave him some pamphlets, and but as far as I know, he hasn't had sex yet. My roommate, Drew, I don't think he's done it there either. Sometimes we do a poll, and we ask who's done it at the ECM. We all know Michael has, because his girlfriend lives in St. Louis, so when she comes to visit, they have nowhere else to go. But I'd say probably that other people have sex at the ECM more than the community members do, because there's been endless, like, there's different organizations that have parties there. Like, there was one, I think they're going to have a gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans dance soon. And I know that they've had events like that in the past, and my roommate Drew has told me that some of his friends have gotten laid. Because the theater is adjoining to our community, and so people can get into the theater. There's couches everywhere, and it's dark. So I'm pretty sure mostly anybody having sex at the ECM is not us. But, you know, like, we always end up talking about that at dinner and sharing our different experiences or lack of it. And also, Drew is gay, and I have a younger brother who's gay, so that's a form of sexual expression that's different than most of us down there, because I think most of us are straight. And so it's interesting to hear his perspective, and we make jokes every now and then. Like, if I have a fight with my boyfriend, I'll be like, Michael, you know, if Felicia did this, blah, 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 in a sexual situation, what would you do? And then I'd be like, Drew, and it's a joke, because he would never have a sexual encounter with a female. So.
Is there any sort of, like, pervasive attitude about sex?
No, I think if anyone were to listen to our dinner conversations about it, they would think that we're sex preoccupied, because when we do have a talk about it, it's just totally rancorous. Like, there are dirty jokes flying everywhere. Lesson's always wanting to get laid, and I think Nadine just laughs and takes it all in, because she's so reserved, and I think she just lives vicariously through the rest of us who are more willing to share our experiences. But no, I don't think anybody has the attitude that sex is bad or they're condemning you if they know you have sex. I think everyone is pretty accepting of it.
What are the best and worst things about communal living?
I think probably the worst thing about it is that there is a lot of ambiguity about what community means. And I think a lot of us have different definitions of it, and some of us are more invested in it than others. And it gets really frustrating when you're someone who's invested in it and other people are not invested in it. So it's just, you kind of just wish everyone who lived there was as invested as you were. So that if you had a conflict, you could talk about it, or they would do their chores, not just to get it done. They would do a good job because they wanted the community to be represented to the outside world in a better light than it is usually. So that, you know, just people, and another thing is the chores. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter how much you bitch at people or how many nasty signs you leave up, or kind reminders or anything. Like, people just aren't going to do their chores sometimes. And it gets really bad in the kitchen. Like, that's my biggest gripe. People just leave things in there, and it begins to smell, and there aren't any clean dishes. And so I hate living in a community where people don't do their dishes. That's probably one of the worst things. And then I also don't like sharing a bathroom with Lux. I don't even use my bathroom. Like, I'll use a shower, which is disgusting. It's so gross. But I don't use the bathroom because I've given up trying to clean it. He just doesn't seem to care if it's clean. He doesn't have to sit on the toilet, and I do, and it's just nasty. So I hate sharing a bathroom. That's probably one of the worst things. But there are other things that are really good. Like, I've met people and come into really close contact with them that I ordinarily wouldn't have. And so the relationships that I've gained from living in the community are outstanding. It's different than any other kind of relationship I've had. And I do feel like some of my community members are like my family. I feel closer to them than I do my own family. And that might just be a college thing, I'm not really sure. But so those kinds of relationships are really outstanding, and it's worth the dirty kitchen. And then other than that, though, it's been a really good opportunity for me to practice not being a pushover, like not doing other people's chores when they're supposed to be doing them, and also standing up for myself and feeling like I'm able to express myself. And that people will listen. They might not do anything, but they'll listen. They won't just shut me down. So those have been really good opportunities for me to practice that, and I think that was essential to my personal growth.
Why have you decided to leave at the end of this semester?
It's really actually hard on me to leave because I've enjoyed like the personal autonomy and relationships I've made. But I'm leaving because I'm graduating in May and I'm moving to Portland, Oregon. And so it's just time for me to move on. I think my partner's moving with me, and it's time for us to start a different kind of life together. And I'd like to see what it's like to live in another city. I've never even been there. So I'm not leaving because the community is bad for me. I'm just leaving because it's time for me to move on.
Do you consider the commune and your participation in it a success or a failure?
That's a really difficult question because I think a lot of us would have different responses to that. It's like there are two different elements to it. Like, is it a personal failure for me, or is it a failure as the community as a whole? And personally, I feel like it's been really good for me. I don't feel like I failed in living up to the community. In that sense, it hasn't been a failure. And I think most people, if they look at people living together, would say that it isn't a failure, because things are going to be dirty and there are going to be some people who don't participate. But I still have some disappointments about it. Like, I kind of wished, I don't know if there's something about the screening process. I don't know if there's a way if you can tell if people are going to invest themselves in the community. But I wish there was, because those are where my disappointments lie, and like the people who aren't willing to invest themselves or don't take the community seriously, or like try to get out of it the same things I get out of it. So that, in that sense, it has been disappointing for me, kind of. I mean, there are some people who have lived up to it.
Are there any other anecdotes you'd like to share?
I don't think so. I mean, there are tons of stories that come to mind, but not really.
Okay. Do you have any documents from your living experience, and would you be willing to share them?
Do you mean documents like things that I've written or materials they've given us?
I think maybe materials about the community.
Yeah, I do. I have a little booklet that explains the history of Koinonia probably better than I could, and also probably explains the ideals better. It's hard to explain them when they're just up in your head, but I do have some information that might be helpful, and I'd be willing to share it.
Okay.
I don't have it with me today, but...
Let's see. Then the last thing is just if you know of other people who might be interested in responding to this in
Yeah, I do. My roommates, I can ask my roommates if they might have time for an interview. My roommate Nadine particularly might be a good person to interview for it. And then other than that, though, I don't know anyone else who is living in the community.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.